Hebrews 10, verses 10 to 25. We have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, and since that time he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First he says, "This is the covenant I will make with them. After that time, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds." Then he adds, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more." And where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Amen.
Welcome to everyone. Happy New Year, can I say that as well? And thank you to Johnny and Sarah for leading us so far, and they'll take us a bit later on into our communion as well. This, as we've said, is the last in our frontline series, but when we set it up, we knew it was going to be the beginning of 2021. And it seems really good that we focus at the very beginning of the year on how we spend our daily lives. Of course, frontline to us now, we all got this jargon, I'm sure, means where we spend our time, not just necessarily in a paid job, but it might be in retirement, it might be in childcare, it might be reading a book or taking leisure time, whatever it is, where we spend most of our time. And of course, we didn't know when we set this that we would get to this stage and find ourselves still very much in the midst of the pandemic, where, as Johnny just shared, for many of us, we've spent most of our time, as we are this morning, looking at a computer screen or sitting at home shielding. And of course, there are some people who have actually changed their front line during this time and have not actually met the people they're now working with. I think of Philip Hunt, who's had a new job this year, and I think, as far as I'm aware, has done all his work remotely so far, which must be strange. It's a challenge, isn't it? But whether you're locked down, whether you're on a frontline job that means you're in school or in hospital, whether you've met new people through the Zoom system or not, all of us, it's a great way to start the year by thinking about focusing on God and asking for his equipping and empowering for our daily lives. And the way that we're going to do this is Hebrews chapter 10, particularly verses 19 to 25. And I'm going to do this in two sections, a slightly longer and a slightly shorter, but in between we'll have prayer and communion, because the focus of the starting the year, as with the reading, should be focusing upon the Lord Jesus and all that he has done for us. So let's look at this passage. I call this a salad passage. I think some of you about 5 years ago will remember this from a summer house group we had. It's a salad passage because it's full of lettuce. Okay, it says, "Let us draw near to God. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope. Let us consider how we may spur one another towards love and good deeds. And if you can't remember anything else, remember Hebrews 10:19 onwards, it's all about salad, lettuce. Have that in your mind. And one of the lovely things about let us is that the writer of the Hebrews here is not saying you do this. He's saying let us together do these things. It isn't you, it's we and it's us. And it's a great reminder, as the title of this last frontline session is this time, Together We Grow. And that's the message, that together we're in this, we're working together for the kingdom of God. And these, I hope, might make up your New Year's resolutions. Perhaps let us draw near to God. Let us hold unswervingly to the faith. Let us spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Those who have been with us through all the Sunday series, I'm going to do number three first, just to confuse everyone. I'm going to talk about number three first, then number one, and then number two in the second half. So in case you think I've gone mad and numbers appear on the slides in odd ways, that's what we're doing. We're looking at it 3-1-2. In the series, we've been looking a number of times at the dots. And if you remember this picture, that something like 94% or something of, 6% of the UK are Christians. And most of our time, with little red dots on the right-hand side, they're spread out. But on Sundays and at other times in our midweek groups, we meet together, and that's where we are built up. That's where we are encouraged. And I thought these words were really very helpful. They're actually from the script that goes along, if you like, with this talk. So let me just read them to you. If we're going to be fruitful when we're scattered on our front lines for the long haul, then we need to be faithful in gathering together. To continue to have an impact, we need to stay strong and encouraged. We need one another. We, as red dots, need to stay red in a sea of grey dots. Our scattered and gathered lives are irrevocably connected. And so that's really the summary of what hopefully I'm going to draw out today. So let's think about this spurring one another on. It's a very interesting word, to spur on. I guess cowboy movies, you think about the back of boots and digging them into horses, perhaps. And that isn't an entirely bad picture, because the word is quite a strong word. It means to incite, to stimulate, to provoke. And we are to provoke each other towards love and good deeds. It's kind of a negative used to demonstrate a positive, if you like. I know I've told you this story before, but my lovely wife, Lucy, when we were fairly newly married, on one occasion, there was something that I thought we needed to get done. And I picked up the phone from my office. I was at work and I called her up and I said, Lucy, could I prompt you to do this? And she said, don't you dare prompt me. And she slammed the phone down on me, you see, because I wasn't her secretary. I can see Johnny and Sarah just looking at each other there. I'm sure that's never happened to them, and they never have those sorts of rows. But 42 years on, I've learned better ways, you'll be glad to know. I do not prompt my wife anymore. But actually, the scripture does allow me to provoke her, to prompt her to love and good deeds. But she can do it to me as well. And we all need to encourage one another towards love and good deeds. Now, we've talked a lot about jobs. We heard about a civil engineer. We heard about someone who looked after their grandchildren. We heard about a nurse and teachers and others in this series. It's been great to consider different types of jobs. Obviously, quite a number of us, including myself, work in front lines, which are overtly Christian jobs. I'm a pastor. And Jack, our youth pastor, did that wonderful video for us at the beginning. That's what he spends his time doing at the moment, because it's very hard to meet people under lockdown. But he made this amazing nativity video. But I want to put it in context, because actually he did a 2-minute video for every day between the 1st of December and the 25th. That last one was longer. And he did those videos to try to encourage our teenagers, our young people, to read a bit of the Bible each day and to pray and think about what that bit of Bible meant each day. Jack used his skills to provoke our young people to love and to good deeds. And many of us are involved as part of our frontline, or all our frontline, in working with Christian brothers and sisters, maybe as house group or small group leaders, as pastors, and we are called to spur one another on. Interestingly enough, it's not just a light-hearted word. We actually get this word paroxysm, which is a kind of a burst of kind of emotional energy when it says, let's spur one another on. That's a strong word. That's what the Greek word is here. And we are to encourage one another in our house groups, in our prayer triplets, in our small groups, to press on, to keep demonstrating good deeds and love every day in all our situations. I was really struck many years ago, about 7 years ago now, I suppose. Howard, I can see you there falling asleep, so I'm just catching your eye now. And Howard and Beverly were in our house group. And we did the first time we did the LICC frontline materials. And of the people I knew who were in a paid job at the time, I think I would have to say that Howard's testimony was the strongest to me, of how God spoke to him about being an accounts manager and yet taking Christ into his workplace. And each kind of couple of weeks, he would share something that had happened at work, and we would pray. And we prayed for a number of people in his accounts team as he was involved in realizing not just that he was a good accounts manager, but that he actually could live out the life of Christ in that, in a way that clearly touched a number of people. And those in our house group will remember some of the testimonies that came through at that time, which were really helpful to us. And I think something else about this "let us spur one another on" is this reminder that it takes more than individual effort. More than individual effort is required to keep us going. It's not necessary that we, it is great if we could do this on our own, but actually we do need each other to stir each other up, to encourage each other, to keep us going in these things. In the song we just sang, we had that wonderful line, change the atmosphere, build your kingdom here. And I just thought I'd use a couple of illustrations from a time when I was a management consultant, but I used to go in and work with teams in a work situation for some time. And on one occasion, coming up towards Christmas, I was at Vodafone. I built together a new team of about 20 people, and I was handing it over to the person that was going to run it. And just around that time, Vodafone, that employed, I don't know, many thousand people out in Newbury, decided, for reasons of a bad financial year, to cancel its Christmas party, which was a major event in Vodafone life. And my team, which had just come together, who'd been looking forward to this, were then quite disappointed. And it was possible for me to do, and I had the opportunity to change the atmosphere by organising a team party instead. It didn't have necessarily the full-on disco or whatever that was planned, though I do love my dad dancing or granddad dancing when I get the chance. But it was nevertheless a great opportunity to change the atmosphere. And afterwards, quite a number of the folks said to me, do you know, that was better than going to the party, the usual party, because it was different, because we as a team gelled together. You can change the atmosphere sometimes by doing something a bit different or dramatic. I really enjoyed reading the letter that Brian and Rosemary Ann Ladd sent out. And some of the things that Catherine did at the Department of Public Prosecutions was brilliant, to change the atmosphere. Another situation, perhaps much more down to earth. I did some work at Monarch Airlines. I don't want you to get the impression that every place I worked had difficulties, but of course they've subsequently gone out of business. So I don't know what that says. But this was some years ago now. And what I discovered when I went in there was that the senior management and those working at the in the front line, if you like, in the support centre and so on, they weren't talking to each other. There was no interaction between them. And I was able to change the atmosphere. One of the things I did was just go and sit and work in the call center for a couple of weeks. Completely changed the atmosphere as I got to know people and to see what they were doing. Whatever your job situation is, you can have a bit of influence bringing some of the skills that we learn as Christians in a Christian community into play in our work communities as well, the people that we meet. So let's spur one another on to love and good deeds. Let's also not give up meeting together. This is part of this same point. Let's not give up meeting together, but let's encourage one another. And I saw this this picture, God has wired us for community. And I thought that was a great way of putting it. Another phrase, I'm sure you know this one, the story of the illustration of a coal or a log. And if it's in the fire as it's burning, and some of you might have coal burners or wood burners in your home at Christmas, I don't know. But if it's in the fire pit and it's burning, then all those coals are glowing together. But if you take one log or one coal out and you isolate it, that can be really quite dangerous because it will gradually lose its glow. And the same is true for us as Christians. It's lovely to see so many people who have joined the service this morning. But it is really, really important that we don't give up, especially during these difficult times, the meeting together. One of the things that phrase for 2020 is, you're on mute. And you know how it goes. It's really, really frustrating. Well, spiritually, we need to take responsibility for not being on mute. If we are not sharing, if we are not playing our part in the Christian community, then others are missing out, as well as us missing out on that blessing. And especially, we're not to be actively disconnected. At least on mute, you're engaging. But to be disconnected, to not turn up at all, will gradually mean that, like the coal or the log, you will lose the fire of the Holy Spirit because you will gradually become more isolated and cut off. Of course, we are literally connected right now, and it's really good that we've managed to get together this morning in this way. But I'm very concerned too in our church for those who do not have the capacity to connect. They don't have computers or internet connection, and love and good deeds for many of us might be picking up the phone today or tomorrow to talk to those who can't join us and to make sure that they feel included too. Of course, we tried to get a CD of the service or of the talk out to them each week. But of course, if you're not able to join through Zoom, then people can feel disconnected. And part of perhaps our good deeds might be to follow up on those who feel cut off. It is for our sake and for the sake of others that we are encouraged to stay connected, to meet up with one another. And I would encourage you to make sure that Sundays is a priority for you. We're in such strange times. It's so easy to not engage with one another during this time because we're obeying the instructions to be self-isolating or at least to maintain social distance. But we need to make that extra effort because the gospel is that we are called into community under and in the love of Christ. And so it's so important that we do prioritize getting together on Sundays. And I'd like to really encourage you, perhaps this is a second New Year's resolution, at least fortnightly, if not weekly, please, please meet up with other Christians in our church, other brothers and sisters, to have some time together, maybe only half an hour to pray together or to share together or to read scripture. You've got house groups, there are fellowship groups, there are prayer triplets. If you feel you don't know where to go and you'd like to join a group, please talk to Rosie Eaton, to myself, or to a small group leader. Because we are encouraged to not give up meeting together, but to press on, encouraging one another, all the more as we look forward in hope to Jesus' return. It is together that we grow, not apart. We're going to have communion in a second. And of course, the first lettuce was let us draw near to God. let us draw near to God. This next picture might slightly surprise you. Tito Adebajo, I don't know if Yetz and family are on today or not, but Tito and I were engaging back in the first wave of the pandemic, and he said, make sure you're getting your vitamin D. My fitness trainer has been encouraging me to take vitamin D supplements for years. NICE and Public Health England are both strongly encouraging people now to make sure that they take vitamin D. It is not a cure for COVID, but it strengthens the immune system and it helps us to grow. And particularly in a country like us in the Northern Hemisphere, in the far north, where the sun is weak during the winter, this is an important thing. So a bit of free advice on the medical front, take some vitamin D. But actually, I wanted to use this as an illustration too, of the fact that when we draw near to God, it actually helps us spiritually and in every other way in our lives. Exposure to the sun strengthens our ability to resist harmful attacks and helps us to grow healthily. Let us draw near to God. Here's the passage, and this is the beginning bit because I jumped into the lettuces at the first section. Let me just read this to you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. We come with confidence and assurance, not in ourselves, it's not self-confidence, but it's because of what Jesus has done for us, his sacrifice for us once and for all, and then the fact that he continues as a high priest to intercede for us day by day, even when stuff goes wrong for us. He still loves us, his sacrifice still covers us once and for all. So we draw near with sincere faith and cleansed from our sins. And that means that we are able to come and take communion together with the assurance, not that we are right with God through anything we have done, but that we are totally right with God through everything Jesus has done. And I just wanted to pick up that last phrase too, having our bodies washed with pure water. And I want to say again, we're hoping perhaps at Easter to have a baptism service. And I've just been reading Tony Lane's excellent new book, Sin and Grace. The subtitle puts you off a bit, but get beyond that and it's brilliant. But Sin and Grace, and it's really, really good. And one of the things he's brought home to me again is that actually believing in Jesus and being baptized are so integrally linked. And if you are a Christian but you haven't been baptized, please consider this as a New Year's resolution to get baptized this year, because it's that public statement, public expression of the internal faith that we have. Let's draw near to God. That verse comes up in Hebrews earlier. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And many of us are struggling at this time. If we're struggling, let us draw near to God, to his throne of grace, that we can receive mercy and find grace. I came across this quote. This is my spiritual director, Steve Mateer, wrote this. Jesus' broken body is the crossover point, the intersection, the border zone between this world and the heavens where God dwells. We're going to turn now to prayer and communion, and then I've just got a few words to say at the very end. Thank you. Shall we pray together? Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him, we offer to you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. And that's a pretty good summary, I think, of what we've been saying today, that we pray in response to the sacrifice of Jesus, that he will send us out in the power of his Spirit to live and work to his praise and glory. But I want you to pick on the last one of our lettuces. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we have, for he who promised is faithful. Let's hold unswervingly. Hope and faith are very much combined, aren't they? Because it's what we put our faith in is what is our hope. And hope is about, at this time, particularly in the pandemic, hope is such a different Christian message that we have got to share with people around. Because for us, death is not the end. Death is entry into the new, into the blessed, because that's what Jesus died for, that he rose again and he offers to all of us who follow him, all who believe, he offers eternal life to be part of his family forever. And that is the message that we can take into 2021, whatever we face. So let's hold unswervingly to the hope. And of course, the reason we hold unswervingly is because God, who promised, is faithful. You know the story, I've used it a number of times, of the three people getting onto the plane that was going to New York. And the first person on was a very, very upset elderly lady who'd never flown before. And she sat in her chair worrying and being concerned the whole time. And then secondly, someone comes along and they sit down and they fidget a bit and they put on their belt, but they've done it before. They're not too concerned. And at the very last moment, as the doors are shutting, a businessman comes in, throws himself down on the seat, puts his blindfold over and goes straight off to sleep. And the plane takes off and the plane lands in New York. Now, if you'd asked those three people how much confidence they had, what they felt at that moment when they took off, you would have found one person terrified and one person completely blasé about the whole thing. But how many of them arrived in New York? All three, because it wasn't how much faith or trust they had, it was what they had their faith and trust in that mattered. Our faith and trust is in God, who is faithful and keeps his promises. And as it said at the end of the letter number three, let's encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day of Jesus' return approaching. We have hope because we know he is faithful and he has promised. At a church meeting back in November, I shared a message for Fairfield from the book of Haggai. I'm not going to repeat that now, but just to remind you that what came through to me really strongly was this word for us, that we need to be strong and work because God is with us. His Spirit remains among us, so we do not need to fear. And there was a lot, if you remember that message, for those who heard it, there was a lot there that was very significant for me, and I think for us as a church. But I want us to use that just to reflect on that as we think about a challenge, an exhortation, an encouragement from me to you today as we start 2021. And it's very much this: let us draw near to God. Jesus has made this possible. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope. God the Father is faithful. Let us spur on one another, continuing to meet together, because the Holy Spirit wants to work through us and in us and among us. And that message comes through very strongly, even in the bit of Hebrews that Sarah read to us just before, where it says that the Holy Spirit will write on our hearts and mind his laws, his way of living. And we need to pray for that Holy Spirit to come and change our lives to live with power in our different front lines. And it felt to me that this message tied so strongly with that Haggai message. Be strong and work, I am with you. My spirit remains among you. So do not fear. Be strong and work. Let's keep going, church. Let's keep going, the meeting together, the encourage one another, the love and the good deeds. Let's support one another as we enter this year. And finally, what's going to be different on Monday? And indeed, hopefully, every other Monday in 2021. Maybe a New Year's resolution, or maybe better, a love response from us to the master that we have committed to follow. Maybe that's a better way of looking at it. Let us draw near to God, hold on to his hope, spur on one another. And I just wanted to remind you of something I've shared before, something that I try, I don't do it every time, but I'm going to try each week during this year to make sure I come before the Father in prayer and I ask these: what are you up to today, Father? What are you setting me up to do or say? Where are you in each situation I find myself in, whether at home, at work, in front of a computer, out walking, whatever? What words of life will you give me to say today? And I prayed that this morning, and I pray that something of what has been shared through the whole of the service today might be words of life for you. Has the Holy Spirit written into your heart and mind something this morning? May my words today and the words of all who have taken part incite you, provoke you to a week of love and good deeds on your front line in your everyday life. Perhaps you've heard a call to follow God for the first time, or to get baptized. Perhaps you've heard a call to join up midweek with some other brothers and sisters to encourage each other and to pray. Whatever it be, listen to those words of life that the Spirit is speaking to you now and respond to them, I pray. Let's pray. Spirit of the living God, I pray now in this silence that you might speak to each person about what this year could entail, and by your Spirit that you will bring to us what it is you're calling us to do. Stir us up, spur us on to love and good deeds, to meeting together, to holding fast to the hope that you give to us. Thank you for that promise, that if we draw near to you, you draw near to us. And now, may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ make our love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone. May he strengthen our hearts, so that we will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when the Lord Jesus returns. May the God of peace sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all, now, throughout 2021, and forever. Amen.